Well, today we finish up the book of Zechariah. We come to Zechariah chapter 14. And Lord, we ask that you would sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. A lot of ground to cover today in this final study. So let's get right at it. Zechariah chapter 14, verse 1. A day of the Lord is coming, when your plunder will be divided among you. And this refers to the end of the age, which will include a great day of judgment. At that time, invaders will conquer Jerusalem. They will conquer and they will feel completely comfortable as they sit there and they divide all the spoils. And it is a false confidence. Look at verse 2. I will gather all the nations to Jerusalem to fight against it. The city will be captured, the houses ransacked, the women raped. Half of the city will go into exile, but the rest of the people will not be taken from the city. Verse 2 fills in the details of what was said in verse 1. The wicked will enter Jerusalem and rule it. They will do everything that they want to do. Verse 3. Then the Lord will go out and fight against those nations as he fights in the day of battle. The day of battle refers to God fighting Egypt on behalf of his people and setting them free. And God will fight on behalf of Israel again when she is attacked at the end of the age. Verse 4, on that day, his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives, east of Jerusalem. And the Mount of Olives will be split in two from east to west, forming a great valley, with half of the mountain moving north and half moving south. You know, when Jesus ascended into heaven, you may recall in Acts chapter 1, it was from the Mount of Olives. And remember, two angels appeared and said, he's returning just as he left. And the return of Jesus is in view here. The day of the Lord, at least the apex of it, is the return of Jesus Christ to judge the living and the dead. And he's going to touch down on the Mount of Olives, just as the two angels said, and just as the scripture is speaking of here. Verse 5, you will flee by my mountain valley, for it will extend to Azel. You will flee as you fled from the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah. Then the Lord my God will come, and all the holy ones with him. The holy ones with Jesus include all the angels and all the righteous dead who return to earth with him and whose bodies have been raised. Verse 6, on that day, there will be no light, no cold, no frost. The lights in the sky, which God created on day 4, will change on the day that Jesus returns. And the strange happenings in the sky will turn everyone's attention upward. Verse 7, it will be a unique day, without daytime or nighttime, a day known to the Lord. When evening comes, there will be light. It'll be a strange day, none like it. It seems as if it'll be like 24 hours of twilight. It is a day known only to the Lord. In other words, only God knows what will be done to make the entire day twilight, or something similar to it. Verse 8, on that day, living water will flow out of Jerusalem, half to the eastern sea, half to the western sea, in summer and winter. Interesting. This is likely a preview of the new earth that Jesus will create after he returns in judgment. The rivers of living water are literal, but they are also symbolic of the wonderful earth that God's people will live on. 9. The Lord will be king over the whole earth. On that day there will be one Lord, and his name, the only name. The only people who will be on earth after the final judgment will be those who belong to Jesus Christ. Jesus will be the king of the new earth, and that will never change. Verse 10. The whole land from Geba to Rimmon, south of Jerusalem, will become like the Arabah. But Jerusalem will be raised up and remain in its place, from the Benjamin gate to the site of the first gate, to the corner gate, and from the tower of Hananel to the royal wine presses. The hills which are north and south of Jerusalem today will be flat on the new earth. However, Jerusalem, God says, will still be elevated. Verse 11. It will be inhabited. Never again will it be destroyed. Jerusalem will be secure. Jerusalem will be secure and prosperous too. God exhorts us to pray for the peace of Jerusalem today. Verse 11 shows us that those prayers will eventually be answered. Verse 12, this is the plague with which the Lord will strike all the nations that fought against Jerusalem. Their flesh will rot while they are still standing on their feet. Their eyes will rot in their sockets, and their tongues will rot in their mouths. The Lord God, who created man from the dust of the ground, will uncreate the wicked who would attack Jerusalem at his return. They will rot, and they will return to dust while they are even still alive. Sounds like a horror movie, doesn't it? Verse 13. On that day, men will be stricken by the Lord with great panic. Each man will seize the hand of another, and they will attack each other. The wicked will panic. They will be so terrified of what God is doing to them that they will do anything to try to get away, including killing one another. Verse 14. Judah too will fight at Jerusalem. The wealth of all the surrounding nations will be collected, great quantities of gold and silver and clothing. In other words, God will reverse the fortunes of his people. During the final days of the tribulation, Jerusalem is attacked and plundered by the wicked. And here God blesses them. God blesses them with all the good things which once belonged to the wicked. And so this is a message of hope that bad will be turned into good for God's people. Verse 15, a similar plague will strike the horses and mules, the camels and donkeys, and all the animals in those camps. And so the wicked will not be able to escape because their animals will be diseased as well. 16, then the survivors from all the nations that have attacked Jerusalem will go up year after year to worship the King, the Lord Almighty, and to celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles. The Old Testament Feast of Tabernacles was the last and greatest religious festival on the Hebrew calendar. It was a great time of worship, celebration. It symbolizes the worship that Jesus will receive from everyone on earth. 17. If any of the peoples of the earth do not go up to Jerusalem to worship the King, the Lord Almighty, they will have no rain. No rain speaks of spiritual blessings being withheld from those who get busy doing other things rather than worshiping God. You know, they're not said to be sinning. Perhaps they're doing good. Maybe they're doing good things, but they should have been doing better things, or they should have been doing the best thing, which was to worship God. I mean, there's a lot of people, and they're not horrible, horrible sinners who are living in, you know, complete and total immorality all the time. They may be good and decent people, but their big problem is they're not setting aside time to worship God. And God here says he's going to withhold blessings from people like that. 18. If the Egyptian people do not go up and take part, they will have no rain. The Lord will bring on them the plague he inflicts on the nations that do not go up to celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles. Those from the world who are represented by Egypt, who refuse to repent and come to Christ, will miss out on the blessings of the new world. It's as simple as that. Verse 19, this will be the punishment of Egypt and the punishment of all the nations that do not go up to celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles. Meaning this, the enemies of Jesus who oppose his church and refuse to accept his word cut themselves off from God's blessing. 20, on that day, holy to the Lord will be inscribed on the bells of the horses, and the cooking pots in the Lord's house will be like the sacred bowls in front of the altar. The words holy to the Lord were written on the turban worn by the high priest in Old Testament days. And it was a reminder that he was consecrated to the Lord's service. In the new earth, everyone and everything will be dedicated to the service of Christ. That's going to be the norm. 21. Every pot in Jerusalem and Judah will be holy to the Lord Almighty. And all who come to sacrifice will take some of the pots and cook in them. And on that day there will no longer be a Canaanite in the house of the Lord Almighty. In the Old Testament religion, the sacrifices and rituals had to be done with care, using only consecrated items in the ceremonies. In the New World, that will not be an issue. Everyone and everything will be consecrated, and worshiping Christ and service to Christ will be as natural as can be. And so Zechariah points ahead to the new heavens and the new earth, and it is a message of hope, as well as a message of judgment. Next time, Malachi. Thanks for spending this time with me. Until next time, Mike Moret for Scripture Verse by Verse. So long, everyone.